Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome you to the February 24th, 2021 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuity, and use of areas having special historical, cultural, and aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is basic and vital importance to the development and maintenance of the communities, tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility, factors, and designs are set forth in the City of Savannah's zoning ordinance, used by the board to determine the compatibility of the proposed changes and new development. Visually, from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, sidewalks, and with the Savannah local historic within Savannah's local historic and conservation districts. The board cannot consider criteria that is not specifically identified within the ordinance. Such items as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangements of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in issuing or denying a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for decisions. Please turn off all cell phones. Make mute your mic until called upon to speak. And each board member must say their name when you speak and when you vote on an item. Will the members present please identify themselves by the name for the record? Rebecca Fenwick.
Present.
Jerry Lomanac. Kendra Clark.
Present.
Chelsea Jackson Green.
Present.
Dr. Robin Williams.
Present.
Darren Bagley Heath.
Present.
Willie Swindell. Jerry Lomanac.
I'm here.
Okay. Does Ms. Swindell appear to be present and her she's muted? Ms. Swindell, by electronics, we're going to say you're here.
We think you're self-muted, Haley.
Item two, signs posting. Members of the board receive the electronic agenda the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Are there any projects that were not properly posted this month? If so, please identify yourself and state the location. Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. These items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, design standards, and the apparent consensus with no known objection from the public. Is there any member of the public or a board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda?
Could I ask, this is Jerry Lomanac, could I ask a question first? I don't want to move this to the regular agenda for the purpose of having a long presentation. My only concern is that I want to make sure the applicant is aware that any work beyond what is up specifically being presented here has to come back before this board. And I really don't want to tie up everybody's time with asking for a complete presentation on the project.
Mr. Lominac, this is Leah. I am happy to ensure verbally with the, you know, without changing the your all's decision, but speaking to or via email, letting the petitioner know that.
That's fine with me. I do have one other thing. Right now, I'm seeing the agenda for the pre-meeting.
It's the same agenda. We just show the regular we just show the regular agenda at the pre-meeting.
Is the verbal conversation adequate, or does anyone want to make a motion to remove this item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda?
I'm good with Leah's explanation.
Are there any other comments or concerns? Hearing no objections, can I have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
This is Robin Williams. I make such a motion to accept the consent agenda.
This is Jerry. I'll back a second.
Okay. Can I call for a vote, please? Ms. Fenwick?
Approved.
Mr. Lominac?
Approved.
Ms. Clark? Ms. Green, Jackson Green?
Approve.
Dr. Williams?
Approve.
Mr. Bagley Heath?
Approve.
Ms. Swindell? Moving on, we will move to the regular agenda. And the next item is to adopt the adoption of the agenda that has been sent to you as well as being posted during this meeting. Do I have a motion to accept the agenda?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I move we adopt the agenda.
And a second, please.
Kendra Clark, I second.
Can I just ask if there are any objections? Are there any objections to the current agenda? Hearing none, we will move that the agenda is approved. The approval of the minutes of the previous meeting of January 27th. Is there any discussion or questions? Hearing none, I ask for a motion to approve the agenda. The minutes.
This is Robin Williams.
Mark, I make a motion to move.
And Robin Williams, second.
Are there any objections to the motion that has been stated? Hearing none, we will accept the approval of the minutes of the January 27th, 2021 meeting. Next item, there have been no items requested to be removed from the final agenda, so we will move on to the continued agenda. Looking over the agenda, are there any questions? Is there any comment from staff?
No, ma'am.
Hearing none, can I have a motion to accept the continued agenda?
Rebecca Fenwick, I move we accept the continued agenda.
Do I have a second, please?
Kendra Clark, I second.
Are there any comments or objections to the motions on the floor? Hearing none, we will mark this item as approved and move on to the next agenda item, which is a request for extension. There are no requests for extensions. So the next item is the regular agenda. The first being number 11, a petition from the CDH Construction Group.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Good afternoon. This is Aslan Drosky, and I will be presenting the petition for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for the property located at 407 East Anderson Lane. Additionally, the applicant is requesting a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the base zoning district standard that requires a minimum rear yard setback of 20 feet to allow for a rear yard setback of 10 feet. As you can see, this new construction proposed is a two-story building with a front stoop and a garage that is located on a lot that is 0.036 acres in size. Dating back to 1916, Sanborn maps indicate that there was historically a wood frame two-story residential building with a front stoop on this property, as well as at the adjacent property, which is 409 East Anderson Lane. While current parcel maps show that 409 East Anderson later combined with the property facing East 31st Street, the parcel at 407 East Anderson Lane has retained its historic size. Due to the historic and current configuration of lots in this area, the new construction proposed for this site will present in design, size, and configuration as an accessory structure. Lane dwellings, which read as an accessory dwelling unit to the principal structure facing the street, are historically appropriate and widely present in the Victorian Historic District in general, and as you can see here on East Anderson Lane specifically. For this reason, staff has utilized the accessory structure standards to review this project in addition to visual compatibility and other applicable design standards. Staff finds that the overall scale and massing of the two-story lane dwelling, including the front stoop and side-facing gable roof, is visually compatible with the adjacent contributing lane dwellings. With regards to the height and mass design standards, staff finds that the intent of these standards has been met. The floor-to-floor heights and overall height and mass of the new construction is in context with the contributing lane dwellings in the same and adjacent block faces. The building is proposed to have a 4-foot front yard setback, which is average for this block face. The eastern side yard setback is proposed to be 2 feet, which does not meet the standards. And as such, staff is recommending that the applicant increase the eastern side yard setback seen here to a minimum of 3 feet to meet the standard. The proposed rear yard setback of 10 feet does also not meet the standard for a minimum setback of 20 feet. As mentioned previously, the applicant is requesting a variance from this standard. I will elaborate on the variance criteria later. However, staff is recommending approval for this variance because a rear yard setback of 10 feet is compatible with the adjacent lane dwellings. With regards to the rhythm of openings, staff finds that the side and rear facades are visually compatible. However, on the front facade, seen here, the horizontal distance between the windows and the front door and the garage door are not visually compatible. Staff recommends that the two windows on the eastern side of the front facade be centered horizontally between the entry door and the garage door. Additionally, while the window types proposed for the openings meet the standards and feature the appropriate trim, it is unclear from the drawings as to whether the sill is pronounced as required by the design standards. Staff recommends that the applicant provides details regarding the sill and ensure that it is pronounced. As you can see here, the foundation is indicated to be a smooth finished stucco on the back and sides and brick on the front facade and piers of the stoop. Staff finds that the use of two foundation materials is not visually compatible. The dominant material for foundation on surrounding contributing buildings is brick. However, stucco is also an appropriate foundation material for new construction. Staff recommends that the foundation material, including the stoop piers, be of one material, either brick or stucco. Additionally, the space between the brick piers on the front stoop is proposed to be infilled with 1/4 inch thick English lattice, which does not meet the design standards. Staff recommends that the infill material on the front stoop be revised to be a minimum of 1/2 inch thick lattice boards. The front stoop itself is to be constructed of post wrapped and smooth hardy board, and the remaining elements will be wood. The finish of this wood was not provided, and staff would like to ensure that the wood elements of the stoop are painted or stained. The applicant is also proposing exterior floodlights, which can be seen here. Staff finds these to be compatible with the structure. However, staff would like to ensure that the light source for the exterior floodlights is white light. Staff has no other concerns with the materials or configuration of the elements proposed for the new construction building and found them to be visually compatible and to meet the design standards.
Is the petitioner present?
Yes, we are.
Yes, they will be. And you will have time to answer or to ask them any questions you may have. But as mentioned previously, staff did utilize the accessory structure standards to review this new construction as well. The building is to be located, as can be seen in this massing diagram, in the rear yard, and will be facing East Anderson Lane with a garage opening 8 feet wide and will be subordinate to the building on East 31st Street, which can be seen here and which reads as the principal dwelling. The side yard setback proposed to be 2 feet does not meet the accessory structure standards as well. And again, staff is recommending that the applicant increase this setback to the 3 foot minimum. Otherwise, the structure proposed does meet the standards for accessory structures. So as I mentioned previously, the applicant is requesting a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals from the Article 5 Base Zoning District Standard, which reads that rear yard setbacks must be a minimum of 20 feet. This is to allow for a 10-foot setback in the rear yard. Staff reviewed the variance criteria against the criteria for approval and found the setback variance to be consistent with the intent of the ordinance and comprehensive plan. Additionally, staff found that the literal interpretation of the ordinance would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district. As can be seen in this diagram, there are several other properties with a rear yard setback less than 20 feet, including 415 East 31st Street, which has a rear setback of 5 feet, and 405 East Anderson Lane, which has a rear setback of 3 feet, 5 inches. Based on a review of these setbacks, staff found that the minimum variance to make reasonable use of the property was requested, as it is larger than the average rear yard setback for similar lane-facing dwellings. Staff finds that the size and configuration of the lot requiring a smaller rear yard setback is a special condition that is historic and did not result from the actions of the applicant. The variance would not confer any special privilege. So with that, staff is recommending approval of the new construction small parts 1 and 2 located at 407 East Anderson Lane with the following conditions. 1, increase the eastern side yard setback to meet the 3 foot minimum. 2, revise the foundation material, including the stoop piers, to be of one material, either brick or stucco. 3, revise the foundation infill material on the front stoop to be a minimum of 1/2 inch thick lattice boards. 4, center the two windows on the eastern side of the front facade horizontally between the entry door and the garage door. 5, provide details regarding the windowsill and ensure that it is pronounced. 6, ensure all wooden stoop elements are painted or stained. 7, ensure that the light source for the exterior floodlights is white light. And staff is recommending that the Historic Preservation Commission recommend approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from Article 5 Base Zoning District Standards, which require a minimum rear yard setback of 20 feet to allow for a 10-foot setback in the rear yard because the variance complies with the variance criteria for approval. Thank you, and I open for any questions you may have.
Yes, this is Robin Williams. I have a question about the eastern side yard setback. On the plan on sheet 9, that one, it appears that the eastern side setback is 3 feet 2 inches.
That may have been me misreading the map. So we may need to switch that and verbally recommend the western yard setback, but I was referring to this one. That is my
mistake. That's the western, not eastern.
Correct.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. Can you hear me? This is Rebecca. Okay, great. Did I hear you say that there was one facade that was brick and the others were stucco?
So for the foundation, for the front facade, let me get back to that page. They are proposing brick for the foundation on the front and then stucco on the back and the sides. And we're requesting that it be altered to be one material for all foundation.
It's just different foundation material, not wall face.
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
This is Jason Hendricks, the applicant. If I may respond, for a moment.
Mr. Hendricks,
let us finish with the questions of staff, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. Absolutely.
You'll be given your time in just a minute. Are there any other questions from the commission? Okay, hearing none, we will ask the petitioner to respond to the recommendations. Please limit your time to 10 minutes or less and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance or questions raised by the board.
Okay, this is Jason Hendricks, the applicant. The intent with the foundation was to have brick on the piers at the stoop, and then the remaining of the foundation on all four sides was to be stucco. We did not do a clear job of communicating that, I would guess, but it's not a problem. We can do one or the other all the way around. We can comply with that. The second item, if you'll go back to page number 9, I just wanted to address the western setback as shown as 2 feet. We actually, in fact, do meet the 3-foot setback. We just inadvertently put a 2 there instead of 3. The home as designed, does lay out on the property within the 3-foot setback for each side, eastern and western. So we can make those changes as well on the sheet. And that's all I have.
Are there any questions of the petitioner? I have a question. I just noticed, is there an exit from the rear in the rear yard on this design?
There is an exit from the home into the rear yard space. It is a double door configuration there shown on, well, there's a sheet number 1. And then the exit from the yard space would be around in between the home and whatever is done there within the 3-foot setback space.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Are there any questions or concerns? Do I have a motion? Excuse me, is there any public comment on this item?
We have Ryan Arve from Historic Savannah Foundation.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Ryan Arve, Historic Savannah Foundation. Good to hear you all this afternoon. Ryan Jarls, would you mind pulling up,
It's Aslan presenting.
Yeah, thank you. I was like, wait, is it Olivia? Aslan, thank you. Would you mind pulling up the front elevation? Thank you very much. So we primarily agree with all of the staff recommendations. We do believe that the brick foundation piers should be brick, which is generally the historic precedent, especially on that lane. So we're grateful to hear that the petitioner is willing to do one or the other and think that it should definitely be brick. We have a few other just minor recommendations that we would make. The shutters on the second floor on the front facade seem a little gratuitous. You know, maybe they should be, you know, either on all the windows or none at all. We do agree with staff that the first floor window on the front facade should be better centered. Now, we understand that that corresponds to interior layout, but that window is, to our thinking, is not the only problem. There is a real inconsistency in the fenestrations on the building. There seems to be various sized openings and placements, which seem slightly haphazard. So I don't know if there's any way to clean that up. On the rear facade, you'll note the one smaller window. I know that those tend to be bathrooms, but if there was any way to clean that up, that would be our preference. And also possibly a slightly better garage door. If this is supposed to be in the tradition of an accessory structure, or what would traditionally be called a carriage house, I guess, is there a way to have a different style garage door that appears more like the barn doors that you see sometimes used as opposed to that kind of suburban style garage, maybe something a little bit more period appropriate. I think that was all my comments that I was sharing on behalf of our ARC. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else from the public that would like to make a comment? Okay, I will open it up for board discussion. There will be two rounds of 2 minutes each to ask questions of the staff and the petitioner. We will start with Ms. Fenwick.
I don't have any questions at this time.
Mr. Lomanac?
I think Orion brought up some good points from Historic Savannah's review process. It appears to me that the whole north elevation of what's called her front elevation needs a good bit of study. I don't recall, is there a second floor plan? I know the first floor plan is shown on the site plan.
Let's see.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, there seems to be no reason why. Go back to the elevation, please. That north elevation, okay. Why the right-hand window can't line up with the edge of the garage door. And then the front door and that window shift over to match the width of the space between the edge of the garage door and the outside of the building, and the one window be centered in between there on both levels, and then a window occur up above the door. There's a total, there's a lack of order completely to that elevation. And really, I think the comments from Historic Savannah were probably right on. There seems to be a disorganized, a lack of order to all the window arrangements on really all facades. I think all facades need extra study.
Ms. Clark, any comments or questions?
No comments at this time.
Ms. Chelsea Jackson Green?
I have no comments at this time.
Dr. Williams?
Yes, actually, in a rare moment of respectfully disagreeing with my esteemed colleague, Jerry Lobanak, who usually I'm on the same page with, but this being a rear structure facing a lane, essentially what historically would have been a vernacular structure, the formality that we would expect alignment of windows, placement of windows, the fenestration patterns having a lot of orderliness that Historic Savannah Foundation has observed would not necessarily have been the case on a carriage house or an accessory dwelling unit. And for me, imposing that kind of orderliness on every building that has to be built, and honestly, sometimes the irregularities of a design can add charm or individuality and keep the buildings of Savannah from becoming overly monotonous. In the same spirit that Jerry and I opposed a height limit for downtown set in feet so buildings wouldn't all be monotonously the same exact height at three stories or four stories. So in that spirit, I personally don't mind the irregular window placement. It's a bit eccentric, but I think it's consistent with historic patterns that rear secondary buildings aren't held to the same standard of organization that a front building would be. End of my comment.
Thank you. Mr. Heath, Bagley Heath.
All right, thank you. I concur with the previous statement. I kind of like the fact that on the lane, it doesn't have to be as standardized as it would be on a main street. So I kind of go with that train of thought as well, that it can be a little bit more disorganized to give some variety.
Ms. Wendell. Does anyone else have any comments or questions concerning this item? Hearing none, I ask to close a motion to close the discussion. Okay. Are there any, would anyone like to make a motion one way or the other on this item? Guys, I need a motion.
This is Robin Williams. I'll make a motion. I just want a clarification from staff. Does the item number one still apply, given that the applicant said that was a drawing error on their plan?
Just make sure the drawing get cleared up.
Okay. Leah and I think we should leave it so that we can make sure that the drawings are cleared up, although the eastern will have to be verbally revised to western side yard setback.
Right. Okay. And then let's see, foundation material, revise foundation, center the windows. Dig our window sill and ensure that it's pronounced, ensure wooden stoop elements. Okay, so really the only item that's been debated is the location of the windows, item four. And I do recall Jerry requesting a sort of a alternate design to the garage door, which I'm sympathetic to. And I maybe Madam Chairwoman, it might be helpful before, I know I'm in the middle of making a motion, but if I could get some guidance from Jerry as to what specifically he had in mind regarding the garage door, I can fold it into the motion.
That comment was made by Ryan from the Historic Savannah. That was not my comment.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. Okay, well, I'll make a motion then. I make a motion that the application for 407 East Anderson Lane be approved with the acceptance of staff recommendations 1 through 3 and 5 through 7, with recommendation 1 being corrected to say west side yard, and that the 3-foot minimum be verified, and that recommendation 4 be modified to address the, that recommendation 4 be removed. And, one more bit. And that we recommend approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals for the variance from Article 5 based zoning district standards for the 20-foot minimum rear yard setback to allow a 10-foot setback.
Do I have a second?
This is Chelsea Jackson Green. I second.
Do we have room for discussion?
We have a motion on the floor. Is there any discussion on the matter?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. While I do see the value in both arguments of order versus, character and irregularity on lane buildings, I think there is, I think there is a good reason why the staff added number 4, and that is part of what the ordinance is asking of our applicants. And even if the windows are ordered on the lane side, the other facades are not, we're not asking for changes to those facades, which also have kind of irregularly placed windows. So I would argue that I'd like to see number 4 included in the motion.
Okay, I'm just checking the east elevation. So number 4 only related to the east elevation. And our debate was actually, I realize our discussion was more on the north elevation. So let me just reread number 4 here.
Condition number 4 only refers to the front facade.
That's the north.
The condition reads eastern side of the front facade. That may have been where the confusion occurred.
Right. Okay. So, Rebecca, are you referring to the north elevation, front facade windows, or the east facade?
The front lane facing facade, which is, I believe, what number 4 in the staff recommendation is referring to?
Correct.
Okay, and you're saying it's per the ordinance that they have to center those windows?
Can staff speak to that?
So staff reviewed this based on visual compatibility and rhythms of solids to voids. So based on that, we found that the window not being centered in that position would disrupt the rhythm on the front facade, but did not feel that the rhythm was disrupted on any of the other facades.
But if you center the first floor window to be between the garage door and the entry door, then it will no longer align vertically with the second floor window, which would be a a different kind of disruption of rhythm of solids to voids.
Correct. The condition actually reads that both of those windows, so that's why it says eastern side of the front facade, it is those two windows would become centered between the front entry door and the garage door. And they would still align vertically.
Okay.
This is the applicant. May I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, we are in agreeance. We as the applicant are in agreeance with Aslan's recommendation to move both the first floor and second floor window over to center on the front facade as she has recommended. So, okay. I mean, we want to do that.
Dr. Williams, would you be willing to amend your motion?
Yes, I'll amend my motion. So do we need to make since there was a second, I gather I need to make an amendment that we have to vote on. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, I propose an amendment to my original motion that staff recommendation number 4 be included.
Do I have a second?
Rebecca Fenwick, I second.
Okay, do I have anyone opposed to the motion in front of the board now to accept staff recommendation on this item? Hearing none, I will ask go through the roll and ask for a vote on the motion to approve staff's recommendation on this item, as well as the recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for approval of the rear yard setback. Ms. Fenwick?
Approve.
Mr. Lomanac?
No.
Ms. Clark?
Approve.
Ms. Jackson Green?
Approve.
Dr. Williams?
Approve.
Mr. Bagley Heath?
Approved.
Ms. Wendell? Motion passes. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, number 412 East Duff.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members of the board. This is Olivia Arfuso. I will be presenting the petition for the infill of a historic window opening to allow for the installation of an electric meter, as well as the replacement of 4 windows at 412 East Duffy Street. The 4 windows are proposed to be replaced with Victorbilt Historic Series wood double hung single pane windows. 1 window will be replaced on the rear, and 3 side windows will be replaced. The proposed window type has been previously approved by the board. Per the petitioner, the current electric meter location is no longer to code. The meter is proposed to be moved so that it is situated 3 feet 6 inches above the deck and 5 feet away from the nearest window opening. The first floor window to the left of the rear door is proposed to be removed. The historic window opening will be infilled and sided over to match the exterior of the home. Staff determined that the rear window opening is historic due to minimal alterations made to the rear since its construction in the 1900s. The only visible alteration was to the 2-story porch located in the northwest corner of the building's rear. However, this had no effect on the eastern side of the rear. The preservation standards are not met. The proposed infill of the rear window opening will impair the essential form and integrity of the historic property. Therefore, staff cannot support the infill of the rear window opening. The removal of the opening will compromise historic fabric and negatively impact the contributing building's rear facade. An alternative spot on the side or the rear, or a freestanding electric meter pole should be submitted to staff. Staff does recommend that the petitioner consider decreasing the size of the deck so that it is inset from the east corner of the rear facade. Therefore, the meter can be accessed from the ground in its current location. Staff recommends approval of the replacement of four windows at 412 East Duffy Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. One, ensure that the four proposed windows are replaced using the gentlest means possible to avoid damage to any historic materials. And two, ensure that all replacement windows have transparent glass with no dark tints or reflective effects, and that the existing window opening dimensions, light patterns, and wood framing members remain. And denial of the infill of a historic window opening to allow for the installation of an electric meter with the following conditions, because the work is not visually compatible and does not meet the standards. One, ensure that an alternative spot on the side or rear or a freestanding electric meter pole is submitted to staff for review and approval prior to installation. And two, staff recommends considering decreasing the side of the deck so that it is inset from the east corner of the rear facade. Therefore, the meter can be accessed from the ground in its current location. Thank you, and I now open for any questions.
Are there any questions from the commission at this time of staff? Is the petitioner present and like to respond?
Yes, I'm present. I guess the only thing that I would say is the deck was replaced. We went through, I guess, a staff level approval of the deck that had to be a like kind replacement to what was existing on the property, and with a slight modification of the stair set that now runs off the back of the property instead of off of the, I guess, from this angle right now, it would have been the right side of the property. Which was approved previously, is why we went forward with the replacement of the deck to be exact to the footprint that was there. The electric meters on the back of the property, they have to be per Georgia Power be on the rear of the building. So there's not, we can't put it on the side of the house or anything like that, which is unfortunate, but that's per their new code. So really this is kind of the real option. I guess really, I know per the recommendations, it changes the historical character of the property. But, you know, I guess the other thing is, the other option is to put more or less a giant electrical pole in the backyard. So it doesn't, you know, when it comes to visual aesthetics, there's going to be a substantial change no matter what option is really presented. There's not really a clean cut way, unfortunately, per the given updated code to have the electric meters off the ground. So that's just what kind of where we're at with it. Other than that, you know, we've done everything, you know, to the standards that have been set and you've been approved previously, and has kind of set precedences of what was allowed and what's not been allowed. We've tried to do it the right way, in terms of getting everybody involved and, you know, making these upgrades to more or less a blighted property when I've taken control over it. So, I mean, I guess that's just kind of where I'm at, and, you know, that's really all I have to say about it.
Are there any questions from the commission of the petitioner?
I have one. This is Jerry. Were the meters existing before the deck was built?
Yes. I've not changed the electric meters or anything like that. Once when I purchased the property, the back to, there was nothing. The deck that you see now that was constructed was built to the exact dimensions of the deck that was previously on the property.
And it was a deck in that same location?
Yes, sir.
So the fact that the meters are closer to the window than 5 feet, I guess, would be grandfathered in. I don't know whether rebuilding the deck in the same location, exact same configuration, is that correct?
Yes, sir. The only adjustment that has been made is the staircase, because originally it went off to the right side of the house, and now it goes off to the rear, is because the property was parceled off, and it's two separate parcels now. So it's just a very tight site, and to be able to, you know, have as minimal impact as you can in terms of historicness and, you know, how the property was when, you know, I took over. That's just why we've had to do it the way that we did.
So Georgia Power had already been reading the meter in its current location from the deck. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten electric bills. I'm sorry?
They were leaning over and reading the meter previously.
Yeah, but per their new code, they won't let it stay there.
So I have a question, if I may, of staff. Was this design of the deck, did it go for review, or is this an after the fact item? And two, who generated this request? Was it Georgia Power, or was it the property owner?
So staff did review the rear deck in October of 2020. It was just an in-kind reconstruction of the deck to the exact dimensions of the pre-existing deck. And at the time, staff was unaware of the issues with the electric meter. That was brought to our attention when the applicant applied.
At the time that you approved the in-kind basically repair to this deck, where were the stairs located?
They were off to the side, to the right side. But since that plot was parceled off, the stairs were relocated.
Is there any public comment? Hearing none at this time, I will go through the board for discussion. Pardon?
Hang on, there's a hand.
We have Ryan Arvey with Historic Savannah Foundation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead,
Thank
please.
You. Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Ryan Arvey, HSF. I just wanted to say quickly that we concur with staff recommendations on this. It is a difficult situation, and we're very sympathetic to the property owner. Georgia Power can be notoriously difficult to work with and very uncompromising. So we have found ourselves in similar situations on projects we have worked with, but we do support the staff recommendation. The closing in of that window in particular, I think, would be a loss for the house. I can understand having your utility services on a freestanding pole may not be aesthetically pleasing, but it has no adverse effect on the physical structure itself, which is really what is at the center of this debate, is the historic integrity of the building. So we do believe the historic window should remain, and thank you for the chance to comment.
Thank you. Okay, going back to board discussion, I will go to the members present and ask for any comments or questions. Please limit your time to 2 minutes. Ms. Fenwick?
Yes, I tried. I wasn't fast enough to unmute and ask staff a question, but it seemed like there was a compromise that was proposed in the staff explanation for this project, and it perhaps was like a cutaway of the deck. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, that is correct. Staff recommended that the petitioner consider decreasing the size of the deck so that it's inset from the east corner. So inset right there to allow for the electric meters to remain in their current position.
Okay. I wondered if, I don't know what the rules are. Okay, 3.5 feet off the ground. So are they currently 3.5 feet off the ground? Or are they more than 3.5 feet off the ground?
There's a specific, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk or not, but there's a specific range that they have to be with off the ground. It's, you know, more than 3.5 feet, and I think it's less than like 6 or so.
Okay. The reason why I ask is I wondered if they could be below the deck. I mean, I don't know if that makes them so invisible that the power company would not be able to find them. But I mean, they're doing a reading like without having to walk up to it, is my understanding with new technology. This they put you in a tight spot. I don't know that anyone knows the answers to all my questions, but I'll wait and, you know, let's keep discussing with the rest of the board. I'll hold any additional comment.
Mr. Lominac? Ms.
Their Clark? Site plan.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I say, is there a site plan?
No, there is not.
What kind of side yards exist?
There's not one. I mean, there's probably a 20-foot section in the back of the house that I'm kind of standing at from the view of this picture. There's a zero lot line to the right, and to the left, you can see the adjacent property more or less is a zero lot line as well.
Okay, so there's no option to locate the meters on the side.
No, sir. And Georgia Power won't allow that either. I wish. Believe me, I've been back and forth with Georgia Power to try to find something that would at least be aesthetic, to make sense.
Must be nice to have a monopoly, huh?
Yeah.
Any other questions, Mr. Lominac? Ms. Clark?
Sorry, I have no other questions.
Ms. Clark, do you have any comments or questions?
I think my questions have been answered in the previous comments. So.
Ms. Jackson-Green? Dr. Williams?
No comment.
Mr. Bagley-Heath?
No further comment.
Ms. Swindell? Okay, thank you. Okay, is there anyone who has another comment concerning this item? Hearing none, I ask for a motion to close the discussion on this item. May I have a motion, please? Do we need more discussion, or can we move forward with a motion to close the discussion?
This is Jerry Lomanac. I'll make a motion to close the discussion on this item.
Can I have a second?
Rebecca Fenwick, a second.
Thank you. Is there anyone who has an objection to closing the discussion on this item? Hearing none, I ask for a motion on item 12 at 412 East Duffy. Do I have a motion?
This is Kendra Clark. I make a motion that we agree with staff recommendations with the approval of the replacement of the four windows, as long as we ensure that they are replaced using the gentlest means to avoid any kind of damage, ensure that all the windows have transparent glass with no dark tint, as well as wood framing, and that we deny the infill of the historic window opening to allow for the installation of the electronic meter, with the condition that an alternative spot or freestanding meter be submitted to staff for review. And then the recommendation that, you know, if need be, decreasing the size of the deck to accommodate the meter.
Do I hear a second on the motion presented?
I second that motion.
Do I have any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, do I have any objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is approved to follow staff's recommendation. Moving on to item 13, a petition for 503 East Bolton Street, an addition.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. The applicant is requesting approval for a rear addition at 503 East Bolton Street. That's the property you're seeing here. The rear addition is proposed to be two stories in height and the full width of the existing historic rear facade. And it is proposed to include a rear uncovered wooden deck that will not be visible from the public right of way. There is an existing 6-foot fence in the rear yard. The property, I'm gonna go to the drawings real fast. The property is this lot 17 you're seeing here. It appears as one large double lot shown in this site plan. However, the property is actually two separate lots. They are both owned by the petitioner, but the structure that you're going to be looking at today is solely on lot 17. So I did have to have them change some things that we'll discuss in a little bit. The historic building was constructed in 1895 and is a contributing structure within the district. Staff did have several concerns and did write a recommendation, but I am going to have to, I'm going to have to flip between two separate types of drawings here to kind of go over what's going on. So if anyone gets lost, just make sure you call me out and let me know while we're going through them. So for now, we're going to be looking at this set of drawings. This is what was provided to staff as an updated set of drawings compared to what was provided originally. Within the original submittal, the side yard setbacks, like I mentioned in this site plan above, were not accurately portrayed due to those two lots being shown as one, although they are not actually combined. So the setback standards are now met. We do know that they are met because they are shown within the new drawings. And I'll give you an example here. So in the original submittal as well, the rear facing facade, I'm just gonna get to here. The rear facing facade showed several portions of the historic wall that were proposed to be removed to allow for a larger entry in the proposed entryway. Sorry, I'm on the proposed. Let me take you to this here. Several openings like this opening here were proposed to be altered. And additionally, a window on the second story was proposed to be altered. However, in updated drawings, which are the ones you're looking at here, those are now proposed to remain intact. All historic openings are to remain intact. So when I go to the drawings here, you can see they even made sure, I can't get to my mouse, I apologize, it's off to the side. They're showing that all existing openings are to remain now and unchanged. So as well, they did show a roof line originally, which was proposed to actually align with a historic roof line as well. So this two-story portion of the rear addition was shown as becoming flush with this rear roof here, which is actually an 1890s addition, which was an enclosed porch. They are now showing, obviously, here that this is lower than that. So they are delineated. And as well as on the roof, they did not provide the measurements for the eaves, and they also did not show the eaves extending beyond the facade. So now they have met the condition they're required to have that 12-inch eave there. When it comes to materials, the applicant is proposing a TPO roofing. They did provide a brand for what type of windows they were going to be using, but they show it in two different areas in the drawings, one being Pella windows and one area being Sierra Pacific. And in these new drawings, they don't show any name brand or anything like that. So in the material specifications, we will still need window material specifications for clarification. The siding and trim is supposed to be hardy board. That has not changed. The doors were not provided. So the material specification for these doors were not provided, and they are not provided within the updated submittal either. And the foundation is proposed with brick piers with horizontal wood infill. The brick and mortar specifications were not provided in the original submittal. And they did provide, with their updated submittal, a large packet of 12 pages. And within this large packet of 12 pages, there are many, many, many different types of brick. So they still have not provided us a brick and mortar specification, technically. So we are going to ask that they do provide that as well. The material specifications for the window, like I said, will still need to be provided. In the original submittal, the rear facade is proposed to have doors and windows. Let me pull up the, if I can find them, I might have to go back. There we go. The doors and windows on the original submittal, as you can see here, are kind of in this large cluster. So featuring accent windows above the doors and the windows, and they're proposed as inoperable, or they're at least not showing as being operable. So staff recommended delineating these accent windows from the lower portions. So these upper windows being delineated with some sort of, you know, thicker trim in here, as well as ensuring that these windows are operable. The staff also was originally recommending the inclusion of windows on either side of this here to ensure that you know, ratio for solids and voids is met. And let me go back to the new drawings. So they did provide drawings showing the windows on either side, at least being separated. So instead of being clustered, they're now separated. And they did create a larger delineation between the upper and lower windows here. They are not showing them as operable, though. So when I'm changing the recommendation later, I'll also be adding that condition. The original submittal, like I said, did not show these being delineated, as well as in the roof plan. Sorry, I keep confusing myself now. They did not provide any sort of, what am I thinking of here? Sorry. They didn't show the roof pitch on any of the drawings. that were provided in the original submittal. However, the roof pitch does meet the conditions now. So that is all right as well. And the roof plan did not show any substantial eave, which I mentioned that they have included now. So staff is going to be updating the recommendations. Let me pull up the recommendation real fast for you to see. It was pretty long and had a lot of conditions, so I'll just kind of go through it with you. Originally, it was to continue the petition to meet the following conditions. Staff will be changing recommendation to approval for the petition of a rear addition at 503 with the inclusion of condition number six. Sorry, I'm trying to get it highlighted. Condition number six for providing material specifications for the brick, mortar, lighting, doors, and windows, and to ensure that the muntins are 7/8 inches or less on those windows. And then also including the portion of requiring that the windows be operable. So that's approval for the petition of a rear addition at 503 East Bolton Street with the condition number six of the original recommendation here, as well as requiring that the windows be operable, which is here. And if you have any questions, I know that was probably confusing, so I will answer anything.
Does the commission have any questions or comments about concerning the staff's report? Hearing none, is petitioner present?
Yes, ma'am.
Please.
Folks, I don't know if you can hear me. Scotty Snipes, I'm going to be her general contractor on this, and I went through her preliminary with her, so I may be able to answer some questions.
At this time, do you have any comments or concerning the staff recommendation?
I just would like to say I appreciate the review of this and hopeful that it will be approved. I've agreed to all the staff recommendations in an effort to move this forward for my family. And we did provide Savannah Gray 420 with an ivory bluff mortar, but that was in an email, so perhaps that was not clear. My apologies. And in terms of the windows being operable, living in an old house, I would love to have windows that open, so they will be, I can guarantee that.
I would like to add one other thing. The brick is going to be painted. All the other brick on the house is painted, so we're going to paint it to match. So I'm not sure that that matters, but we are going to match in kind the size and so if the paint was ever removed, but it will be painted.
And one more thing, this is Laura. In terms of the providing the doors and windows, obviously, that's a budgetary issue, and we're looking at the Sierra Pacific right now and would appreciate the opportunity to make those determinations with the MPC staff as we get closer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any public comment?
If everyone would use the raise your hand feature, but for now we do have Ryan Arve for Historic Savannah Foundation.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Ryan Arve, Historic Savannah Foundation. Just want to begin my comments by complimenting the property owner on this property. It's a beautiful Victorian home, quite a landmark on East Bolton. And we certainly can understand the owner's desire to have more space. We understand the need to adapt a lot of these homes to modern living. So we don't have any objection in any way to additions, sensitive additions built onto the rear. Our ARC did have some pretty big concerns though about the configuration of this addition. It seemed slightly an odd configuration with the second story portion being just, partial width. We just found it overall, I think the easiest way to put it is just visually incompatible
and feel that it needs to be continued and have the design studied a little bit more. We pretty much agree with all of staff's recommendations, but feel that something more pleasing and slightly less haphazard in design might be warranted. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else?
May I respond to that at this time?
One second.
We don't have any other public comment.
All right. There being no other public comments, yes, ma'am, I will allow you 2 minutes to respond, please.
Thank you. While I understand that the internal configuration may not be to your liking, that is internal. As far as the visually incompatible, we have looked at other homes on my street and in my neighborhood who have had additions. And I believe very strongly that I have tried to be within what would be appealing. I have lived in this home for 18 years and have been a resident and am committed to staying here. So I care very deeply about this project and do believe that it is appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we will open it up to board discussion. There will be 2 rounds of 2 minutes each to ask questions of staff and the petitioner. Ms. Fenwick?
Yes. I agree with staff's comments, and I would say that I think there's some value in the fact that the second story portion isn't full width. I think it would actually, the mass would be quite large in that way. I do think the design could be improved, but if it, you know, it seemingly meets the ordinance, and the staff comments are good comments, and I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lomanac?
Yes. I do have the windows shown in the addition are shown as divided light windows. Are the ones in the main house divided light? They are, aren't they? Okay. Well, they're not as divided. Okay, he answered my question with a photograph. They look awfully busy in the drawings, and it may be the quality of the drawing to a certain extent. It seems like they would be better if they were just simpler design windows. I don't really have a problem with the L shape. I didn't quite understand the thing about redesigning, restudying the roof form so that it would be more secondary to the main building. I didn't quite understand that comment by staff. Maybe that could be clarified. The connection of the addition to the main building. I think there needs to be some kind of identifying break in material or treatment between a recess or a groove or something that occurs to kind of separate that a little better. And it's going to be an awkward connection, I think, when it actually gets built. And I guess those are really my comments.
Staff, do you have any comments or response?
I believe Mr. Lomanac did ask for a clarification on the roof here, so I'll just zoom in on this portion. Staff determined via Sanborn map research that this enclosed porch area on the rear of the building was historic, and so therefore staff asked that so I'll go to the original drawings actually real fast for you, I apologize. The original drawings did show these roofs being as one, so forming them together. So staff had requested that they differentiate these roof lines so that the historic roof line can still remain as it existed. So it's no longer a condition, obviously, because they have met that condition.
Ms. Clark?
I just want to add, I don't have an issue with the L shape either. I think that just looking at the back of some of the buildings in the area, it's not that much different visually. And you know, the fact that they are so willing to kind of make the changes even prior to getting to the meeting says a lot about wanting to uphold the historical nature of these buildings.
Ms. Jackson Green? Dr. Williams?
So I just want to get some clarification from Ryan Charles. So the elevation view that we're looking at right now, where you showed that the original rear porch had a higher roof line than was on the other drawing, is this the current state, or is the, would it require a modification?
These drawings are the updated drawings that were provided to staff just within the last couple of days. So this is what our updated recommendation is being created off of. So this is what staff is saying has met the conditions of our original recommendation.
Right. I was a little confused of trying to find a photo of the rear elevation that shows that part and with that lower roof, that original lower roof, and that photo with the...
I understand your confusion on this one. This photo is actually flipped. Somehow in this page that was provided to staff, this photo is backwards. So this is what you're seeing in the elevations should be...
Okay. That's why I was confused. Okay. Got it. Okay. Thank you. No further comment.
Mr. Bagley-Heath?
My only question is with the new windows on the addition, would it be possible to have them correspond closer to the ones on the rest of the house with being 2/2s rather than 9/9s? As I agree with Jerry's comment that the windows seem a little bit busy and out of context with the rest of the house.
Okay. Are there any other comments from the commission?
This is Robin Williams again. I forgot to mention that I agree with Jerry and my predecessor. Sorry, I'm blanking on your first name, Darren, that the windows be good if they were 2/2 to be a little more compatible with the original windows.
Are there any other comments?
This is Rebecca Conway. I am a little bit concerned just about also the late submission of the revised drawings, and maybe staff can clarify what the rules are in that regard.
It was solely in response to what our recommendation was. She saw what our concerns were within the recommendation, and she wanted to, as quickly as possible, get us updated drawings so that they were here in time for the board meeting. It wasn't necessarily updating the application, but it was in response to our recommendation. She did have an on-time complete application originally. It's just this new updated set of drawings is in response to what we had provided.
Mm-hmm. And the recommendation is not posted until the Friday before the meeting. Is that right?
Correct.
Sometimes Thursday, but yes, it has to be done by Friday.
Yeah. Right.
As you can see, the recommendations could change subject to a new information that is provided to the Historic Preservation Commission meeting Final decisions will be made by the Historic Preservation Commission at a public hearing based on the information provided at the meeting, as well as the information submitted for staff recommendations. You're welcome. Are there any other comments or questions? Hearing none, I'd like motion to close the discussion. Is anyone willing to make a motion?
Mr. Clark, I make a motion to end the discussion.
And a second, please.
This is Jared Almanac. I'll make motion. I'll second that motion.
Is there anyone who objects to closing the discussion and moving on? Hearing none, the motion to close the discussion has been approved. Do I have someone who would be glad to make a motion on this item?
Madam Chairwoman, would you like me to repeat staff's new recommendation?
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. So staff's new recommendation is to approve the petition for the rear addition at 503 East Fulton Street, while including condition number 6 of the original recommendation, so providing material specifications for brick mortar, lighting, doors, windows, and ensuring that the muntins are 7/8 inches or less, as well as including the condition that all windows are operable.
Do I have a motion? Either in agreement with staff or such as you would like.
This is Jerry. I'm a little unclear as to what the staff recommendation is now. Is it the one that's written here that says it's on the screen right now?
No.
No.
It is the only portion of this recommendation by the staff that you are seeing on the screen is item 6 and to the last sentence of item 5.
So Mr. Lomanek, this is Ryan again. It is for approval of the project with those two conditions now.
Well, we're not in discussion at this point, are we? Or are we?
Pardon?
Are you waiting for a motion now before we are in discussion again?
Yes, please.
This is Kendra Clark. I'll make a motion that we go with staff recommendation and continue and approve the petition with the following condition of condition 6. And then also that the rear windows be operable, but then also add the recommendations of the board that the back windows be the 2/2 rather than the windows proposed.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Do I have anyone who is opposed to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you. Moving on to the next item, the Kyler Brownsville District Petition 14-2402.
Don't we have to vote?
I asked if anyone was opposed and heard none, so I assumed that that was an approval.
There needs to be a vote.
If you would like, I can go through the roll and ask for a vote. Ms. Fenwick?
Approve.
Mr. Lomanac?
Approve.
Ms. Clark? Ms. Jackson Green? Dr. Williams?
Approved.
Mr. Bagley Heath?
Approved.
Motion passes. Moving on to item 14.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. The applicant is requesting approval for after the fact rehabilitation of the property located at 2402 and 2404 Bullock Street. I'm just slowly going through these pictures to show you, you're probably familiar with this project. On January 27th, the board made the decision to continue the petition for the rehabilitation of this property, which at the time included the scope of work that they were to replace they were repairing and painting existing siding like and kind and painting. And then the existing doors are going to remain and existing railings on the front of the house are to remain. So essentially it was just a simple, what could have been a staff review application, but upon staff's further investigation at that time, it was discovered that the property was entirely rehabilitated, including the replacement of wood siding to hardy, replacement of windows with prohibited vinyl windows, with what at the time staff believed was a door replacement, and that the shingle roof was replaced with an in-kind shingle roof. And additionally, at that time, staff did find out that there was a rear building. You can kind of see it in several images as I go through here. That had also been rehabilitated with those same materials, except the siding is an existing CMU. That structure is non-contributing. This structure is contributing. So the petition was continued, like I said, to allow for the petitioner to meet the following conditions. The first condition you all had was removal of the prohibited vinyl windows on the contributing building and replacement with wood, single pane, true divided light windows. And the second condition being that the window replacement on the contributing building, and that was for the, non-contributing building. That was for the contributing building, my apologies again. Condition two was the window replacement on the contributing building must include also the removal of all hardy board trim and replacement with compatible wood header sills and trim. The third being removal of any metal doors on the contributing building and replacement with solid wood doors. The fourth, ensuring that all work is undertaken using the gentlest means possible. Five, removal of the prohibited vinyl windows on the non-contributing building and replacement with approvable windows, as previously mentioned. And six, removal of the metal doors on the non-contributing building and replacement with doors made of wood, clad wood, or steel. And seven, reconstruction of a historic hipped roof line that once existed on this property. So the applicant did provide this updated submittal that you're seeing, and they've separated it out into phases. So I'm going to go to page one just so you can see that with me here. Phase one is going to include removing previously installed vinyl windows from the entire building. This is referring to the contributing structure and replacement with wood, single pane, true divided light windows. The specification and configuration were not provided with this submittal. The existing front doors on the contributing building are the doors that were present prior to work commencing. Staff did not know what kind of doors were there. They were boarded at the time we were doing our research. So they are to remain. And the existing railing on the front of the house is to remain as is as well. They are now proposing within phase one fences in different locations. All we have are these blue lines here. So that is also part of phase one that they're proposing. Phase two, they're proposing, which is going to be 1 year from March. So March in the year of 2022, removing all hardy siding on the back and south of the building and installing new wood siding. I believe they wanted to separate it out into phases because this property is going to be utilized as low-income housing and they're trying to get the residents in as quickly as possible. So they're breaking it out in phases so that people can be living there while the work is occurring. Staff's new recommendation, staff's not new recommendation, recommendation for this meeting is, I apologize, trying to shuffle through my stuff. And you'll notice staff's recommendation is going to have an and. That's because I'm sure some of you noticed they still did not submit for the property at 805 West 40th Street, which is the rear building I mentioned before. So staff is recommending approval for the petition of after the fact rehabilitation of the property located at 2402 and 2404 Bullock Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for review and approval, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Those five conditions are ensuring that all the work is undertaken using the gentlest means possible, ensuring that all windows include wood trim, headers, and sills, remove the hardy board siding and replace with wood siding during phase one or two and indicate which phase this will be included. Reconstruct the, I apologize, this is supposed to say on the dormer. So let me get to that. There's a dormer on the top here. This condition number three is referring to the dormer. So removing the hardy board siding from the dormer and replacing with wood siding during phase one or two and indicate which phase this will be included. Number four, reconstruct the porch roof to match the historic hipped roof shape. And five, provide a site plan showing the exact locations of the fence prior to submitting drawings to be stamped for permitting and ensure the fence is to be painted or stained. The recommendation, like I said, has this and. So we're asking that they also submit an application for a certificate of appropriateness for after the fact door and window replacement at 805 West 40th Street with the following items addressed. One, the windows will be required to be replaced with windows previously approved for use on non-contributing buildings and must meet the window standards. And two, ensuring the replacement of the doors with doors made of glass, wood, clad wood, or steel. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions of the board?
I have a question of staff. This is Jerry. What is that column that's running up between midway of the stair up? What's the purpose of that?
I'm assuming at some point in the past that was included as a support for the roof, but we believe it was there at the time that this owner purchased the property.
It's strange. And if that's, if the roof is in a condition where that is put there to support it, there must be other problems. I don't know. That really needs to go. But if it was there, if it's been there, I guess it's grandfathered in, as strange as it looks.
Are there any other questions of staff? Is the petitioner present?
Yes, this is Andre Gaffney with EcoFriendly. We were just reviewing the recommendations that you had there. As far as the non-contributing building in the rear, you want all the windows taken out of the building to match more vinyl windows that's going to be put into the building?
Staff is requesting that the vinyl windows be removed and replaced with windows previously approved for use on non-contributing buildings. So vinyl is actually a prohibited material within the district. It cannot be utilized.
Okay, so it'll be like a wood clad?
Wood clad is an approvable material, yes.
Oh, okay. And the same thing, about the phases that we have going on here. I didn't see you didn't mention anything about the phases in your recommendation.
The COA is good for the 2 years, so you're okay to start that second phase in 2022.
Okay.
And do you want to just say something about that front?
And then another thing we're saying something about too. The fact of the matter that it was mentioned earlier, I guess this was in the pre-meeting that you guys were discussing, that, you know, exactly how many times that I have come up in front of the board because of you know, my name's come up a couple times with the after the fact discussion. Well, I just want to clarify that, you know, just like what I was saying before, I'm not the previous contractor that was involved with the initial work. I come in after the fact, after somebody calls me to say that, okay, they're non-compliant, or they got to stop work and they need an actual general contractor who can go through the formalities to actually get this thing approved. So I just want to clarify that to make sure that you guys know that, because you will see me again and again and again. And previously, we were going through this for years, but for the most part, maybe I get the architect or the designer to actually do the submittals to the MPC. That's why you haven't seen me come up before the board before. But I just wanted to make sure that it's on record that I am not the contractor that actually initiate the violation. I'm the one that's actually cleaning up the violation. So that's basically all I wanted to say to clean that up.
Thank you very much for clearing that up. Are there any questions of the petitioner?
I have one. I mentioned, this is Jerry Lomanack. I mentioned that column, that post that's in the middle of the stairway going up. I would like to ask the petitioner if they could remove that. Seems like a very small thing to do, but it looks like a strange thing to have there.
Well, it is a strange thing to have there, but so is the concrete porch, so is the brick handrail there, and so are the cinder blocks that are there. All of that has been there for quite some period of time, and the metal rail in there is connected through there, and it's been there for a substantial amount of time. That's a cast iron pipe that I have no idea when it was put in, but just like I was saying, that whole porch, I have no idea if it was done in the 50s or the 60s or what. None of that is the original porch. It's actually got a 6 or 7 inch poured concrete slab that those poles are sitting in.
I fully recognize that post was there before. I was just asking if it could be removed. I don't think we can require that it be removed.
No. I don't know if it's structural or not. As far as I know, it's not, but I have no idea. We'd have to review that.
Okay. Is there any public comment? Pardon? Sir, would you give us your name for the record, please?
David Guggenheim.
And your connection to the project?
Oh, no.
Thank you. Is there any public comment?
We have Ryan Arve with Historic Savannah Foundation.
Thank you, Ryan Arve, HSF. I just want to concur that with staff recommendations, we support those recommendations, and I'm glad to see that the home will be returned to its original state in terms of siding and windows. We also hadn't really thought of it, but very much like Mr. Lomanack's recommendation, though it cannot be enforced, the removal of that center post seems like it definitely could go. It's not really adding much. The porch is going to be rebuilt to the original hipped configuration anyways. And so having been rebuilt, I don't think it's necessary. It would be an opportune time just to remove that. Though I can't be certain, I feel confident that it was probably added in the 60s to shore up a then sagging porch, which wouldn't be the case now. So we support staff recommendations and would also encourage the owner just to remove that when they rebuild the porch roof. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to open this item up for board discussion. Ms. Fenwick?
Yes. I'm happy to see that there's significant work proposed here to bring this property into historic ordinance compliance. And I absolutely agree with the removal of the porch support at the center there. It seems that also at that time, the battered wood columns on top of the concrete blocks were made skinnier. You can tell they don't have the same base shape. It's probably here nor there at this point, but perhaps all those changes happen at the same time. No further comment.
Mr. Lomanac?
I have no additional comments.
Ms. Clark? Ms. Jackson Green? Dr. Williams?
I agree with my colleagues about the removal of that central post from the staircase. I think that would be critical to improving the appearance of the entry area and bringing it back to at least its 1950s integrity or whenever that porch was erected. But removing that post would be highly desirable. Otherwise, I applaud the efforts to bring this building into compliance.
Thank you. Mr. Bagley Heath?
I have no further comments.
Are there any other comments from the board, the commission? Can I have a motion to close the discussion, please?
This is Darren Bagley Heath. I motion to close the discussion.
Second.
Kendra Clark, I second.
Any objections to closing the discussion? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Can I have a motion on the for a decision, please?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I motion that we approve the proposal as submitted with staff recommendations at 2404 Bullock Street to include the additional submission of after-the-fact door and window replacement specifications as stated in the staff report.
Do I have a second? Mr. Heath Bagley, was that you?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
But I will second it. That's fine.
Thank you. Ms. Fenwick, how do you vote?
Approve.
Mr. Lomanac?
Approve.
Ms. Clark? Ms. Jackson Green?
Approve.
Dr. Williams?
Approve.
Mr. Bagley Heath.
Approve.
The motion passes. That concludes the regular agenda for the for this meeting. We have the approved staff review. A list of staff review is attached to the agenda. Are there any questions of staff regarding the approval? The approved staff reviewed.
You'll want to vote on them. Just acknowledge them in a vote.
Do I need to read them?
You don't have to. But we've been acknowledging them through a vote.
Do I have a motion to accept the staff's recommendation for the approved staff reviewed applications?
This is Jared Lomanac. I make a motion that we accept the approved staff application reviews.
Do I have a second?
This is Darren Bagley Heath. I'll second that motion.
Do I have any objections to the motion to accept the staff's approved recommendations? Hearing none, the motion passes. We have one item of new business. In January, early January, the City Council appointed a member, new member to the commission, replacing Mr. Jones. He, the appointee, has been attempts to contact the appointee multiple times have taken place since January with no response. They included written, emailing, and phone calls. I would ask this commission to consider a motion to ask City Council to reconsider their appointment and make a new appointment to this position to bring us into full membership. Do we have any discussion on the matter?
I was about to make a motion.
Thank you.
This is Jerry Lominack. I'd make a motion that we petition City Council to make another appointment to replace the appointment they made who has been unable to be contacted, or whatever you said. You said it better than I did. So,
do I have a second on the motion?
Robin Williams, second.
Do I have any objections to the motion to ask City Council to make a new appointment to the commission, to the Historic Preservation Commission, to fill the vacant seat that we have? Hearing none, the motion passes. I ask for a motion to adjourn. Our next meeting will be March the 24th. Pre-meeting at 2:30, regular meeting at 3:00. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
This is Darren. I motion to adjourn.
Robin Williams, second.
I have a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting. Do I have anyone an objection? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you for all participating. I think it was a very good meeting, and we beat my aim of getting out of here before 5:00 with 8 minutes.
Have a good month, everyone. Thank you.